Thank you very much, Rabbi Charka. Thanks for everything you do to make these programs possible. It's a very special week in Yerushalayim. Not really because the president is going to be there, but because we are celebrating a world of Jerusalem. Our rabbis tell us that the word le'olam, of course, when a slave is put into service, le'olam, forever, it means 50 years, an eternity. And we have had Yerushalayim in many ways at this point for an eternity. So, Bishus the Rabbanim who are here, Bishus Avimori who is here, I'd like to focus a little bit on what makes Yerushalayim so special. I have to admit that as a diaspora Jew, it is easier in a certain way to relate to Yom Yerushalayim than Yom Ha'atzmaut. Now Yom Ha'atzmaut gets a lot more fanfare, barbecues, blue and white cookies, here in YU, the day off, and everything, in a certain sense, it is celebrated in a much more lavish way. But admittedly, as a diaspora Jew, which most of us still are, the essence of Yom Ha'atzma'ut, the essence of being able to live free in Eretz Yisrael, is something that we can't fully appreciate out here. We have to be honest about that. We could be just as thankful to the Ribono Shel Olam. We could thank the Ribono Shel Olam that it's a place that we can visit, a place that we can go, a place that we can study. But there's something about having Eretz Yisrael back in our hands that is difficult to really experience if we live out here, if we don't spend our day-to-day life in Eretz Yisrael. And yet Yom Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim itself speaks to the diaspora Jew and always has in a way that Eretz Yisrael isn't able to. And I want to speak a little bit about this distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, Tzion. Because somehow there's something about Yerushalayim, there's somehow a romantic notion about Yerushalayim that speaks to the diaspora Jew in a way that even Eretz Yisrael as a whole does not. And I want to try to figure out where that started and how that started and what the importance of that magnetic connection that we have to Yerushalayim has been for the Jewish people. It's interesting that if you look at the Torah, the five books of Moshe, there is much more of an emphasis on Eretz Yisrael than there is on Yerushalayim. And the fact is, again, we can't really appreciate even what this is. We have developed, even Jews in Eretz Yisrael, suffer from a diaspora mentality of the Yiddishkeit that's developed over the past several thousand years without Eretz Yisrael. Let me explain what I mean. We've sort of lost this concept. We're getting it back today, Baruch Hashem. That Israel, having a Jewish society in Eretz Yisrael, is a central idea of what the Torah is about and what the Torah is trying to achieve. That it's not just about doing the mitzvos, coming to minyan in the morning and putting on tefillin and davening and chesed and the yom tovim. That there is something about Yiddishkeit, the Torah system, that is supposed to be a system that plays out in every facet of communal life. It's supposed to involve all of our agriculture, all of our business. It's supposed to involve the way we run the country. We don't often think of it that way. Eretz Yisrael isn't just that, oh, and part of the Torah is that certain laws only apply in Eretz Yisrael. It's a greater idea that there's supposed to be a place on earth which is run completely according to God's will. And that's part of what the Torah is about. Again, it's hard for us to relate to that because for thousands of years we didn't have the land and we developed a Judaism that focused simply on ben adam lechavero, ben adam lemakom, but didn't include this concept that there's a larger picture. There's supposed to be a Jewish society. And so much of the Torah is based on that concept. The agricultural laws, the civic laws. Yerushalayim, on the other hand, is almost absent from the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. In fact, the word never appears in the Torah. Isn't that amazing? And we now know that it's not because Yerushalayim didn't exist at the time. We know from secular sources that a city with a similar kind of a name, Ursulum existed at the time of the Avos, and yet the word Yerushalayim never appears in the Torah. It appears more than 640 times in Tanakh, don't get me wrong. It is a central part of our Tanakh, but it doesn't appear in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And it plays a very minor role in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Yes, we have a tradition that Adam HaRishon gave a sacrifice there. We have this character, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. And our rabbis say Shalem is Yerushalayim. And there's reason to believe that. Eventually in Sefer Yehoshua, when we get to the city of Yerushalayim, the king's name is Adoni Tzedek. And the first Jewish king, King David, who was in Yerushalayim, he was a person of tzedek, of righteousness, of mishpat. And we know that Avram Avinu is told to go to that place, the place that God will show you, but it doesn't have a name. Har HaMoriah doesn't have a name. It isn't called Yerushalayim. Of course, it's a place that we offered sacrifices, that we speak of the fear of God, that we speak of God becoming obvious and apparent, Bahar Hashem Yera'eh, but it doesn't appear there. He does speak in several places of the place that God will show you, but we're never shown where it is. We are seem to be told in the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah that in the place of Shevet Binyamin, that God's presence will dwell. And it did. The Beis Hamikdash was largely on the border of Yehuda and Binyamin. But it never says it. In fact, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim tries to figure out, why can't God just say the word Yerushalayim? Sounds like a politician of sorts. Just can't say it. And the Rambam gives three fascinating explanations in the Mor Nevuchim why God just won't say the word. Reason number one, because if God identified the spot, the nations of the world would try to hold on to it because it's a very holy space. Then it would be so much harder for us. Imagine the price that David would have had to have paid if anybody knew it was the holiest spot in the world. Second, the nations of the world might try to destroy it. Better that no one should have it than the Jewish people should have it. It's a fascinating approach. If the place Yerushalayim was named, it might have been destroyed, totally destroyed before the Jews could even get there. But then thirdly, and he says this is the main issue, because if the spot of Yerushalayim was named, the Jewish people would fight over who gets that piece of land. The Jewish people would fight over it. It would become a point of contention between the Jewish people. So let's divide up the whole land. Let's have everyone settle in the place they're going to be. And then you're comfortable there? This is your home? Okay, by the way, this is where the temple's going to go. And even still, it was put in a spot that was half in one shevet and half in another shevet. The Rambam says that's the real reason. So the Jews won't fight about it. So it's interesting to note that within the Torah itself, Eretz Yisrael plays a very, very central role. Yerushalayim, certainly by name, plays no role. We do know there are halachos, that you can only bring karbanos there. There's one central place that you're supposed to come to offer sacrifices to Hashem. this concept, we'll actually see it a little bit later, that there's an advantage to having one spot to bring korbanos instead of anywhere in the country and all over the place. But it would seem that Eretz Yisrael is the Ikar and Yerushalayim is a central place within Eretz Yisrael. And yet, and the anniversary of the reunification of Yerushalayim is a good time to think about this, so much of Jewish practice, so much of Jewish liturgy is about Yerushalayim in particular. We don't make a Zecher La'aretz, even though we were exiled from the land. We make a Zecher L'Mikdash. We make a Zecher L'Yerushalayim. In the Shemoneh Esrei, we pray, V'Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Tashuv. Bring us back to Jerusalem. And it becomes the central theme of so many of the most powerful moments of the year. Pesach, at the end of the Seder, at the end of Yom HaKippurim. Lishana Haba B'Yerushalayim. It's not Lishana Haba B'Eretz Yisrael. And yes, the reason why we say it at the end of Yom Kippur and Pesach is because the central thing we're missing on those days is the Korban. And you couldn't bring the Korban in Tel Aviv. You couldn't bring the Korban anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. But it's still striking. Have you ever thought about how much of our connection to our past is about this city? Lishana Haba B'Yerushalayim. At the end of the Chasana, to break the glass, Im Eshkacheich Yerushalayim, not Im Eshkacheich HaMikdash, not Im Eshkacheich Eretz Yisrael, that's a pasuk, but how did the pasuk become that pasuk? Im Eshkacheich Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. What is this obsession that we have with Yerushalayim? And when did it begin? And I'd like to share a theory that I developed a number of years ago when I had the privilege to truly learn through Tanakh with my shul in Holleswood. We spent some 20 years learning through Tanakh. We spent 20 years going through Tanakh and really living Tanakh together. And we could have probably done it had we sat and immersed ourselves, but somehow over 20 years you become at one with the stories and the people. And having gone through this experience, there was one moment in the shiur where I suddenly said, after about 17 years of giving the shiur, Yerushalayim has changed. Yerushalayim is something that it wasn't before. And I want to relive that moment with you, with a story that is famous because we sort of know it happened, but you probably never have had the chance to see it inside. It's way at the end of Malachim Bet. Our schools somehow get to somehow into Malachim Aleph, but never seem to get to finish Malachim Bet. But the stories as you go on in Tanakh become more relevant to us. As you learn further and further into Tanakh, into Bayit Sheni, they become more relevant to our situation today, even though we never get to them. So I want to learn this story together. If you open up your source sheets, we're just really going to learn Tanakh today, and learn about the city of Yerushalayim as it appears in Sefer Melachim. Now, if I asked you, when does Yerushalayim become special? When does Yerushalayim become something greater than just any city in Eretz Israel? So the answer should be in the time of David HaMelech. It is interesting, and we'll return to this at the end of the shiur, that throughout the book of Yehoshua, even though it's mentioned, throughout the book of Yehoshua, throughout the book of Shoftim, Yerushalayim just doesn't seem to be a central place. And again, maybe it's because, as the Rambam says, we had to get everyone settled first and get everyone happy with their own neighborhoods and then say, okay, this tribe wins. But it's strange. David comes and takes Yerushalayim. He makes an effort to take Yerushalayim. And it looks like until that point, no one was trying to take the city. Now, we know that not all of Eretz Yisrael was conquered. That was one of the challenges of Sefer Yehoshua. But somehow in the time of David, Yerushalayim suddenly becomes a central place, Ir David, the capital of the country. And then, of course, the Beis HaMikdash is built. And if I would ask you, when is Yerushalayim, we're going to go to Jerusalem. When do the hotels in Jerusalem become the most expensive hotels in the country? Other than the fact that you may not have been allowed to charge at the time of the temple for those who are coming to be Ola Regel, I'd say it was when the Beis HaMikdash was built. After all, Yerushalayim was the center of the Jewish world for hundreds of years as people came to the Beit HaMikdash, right? Wrong. Not true. How long did the majority of the Jewish people come to the temple, come to the Beis HaMikdash to worship? Less than 50 years. The temple is built, of course, by David's son Shlomo. Shlomo is a very young child, and he built the Beit HaMikdash. It is in the time of Shlomo's son Rehavam that the empire gets split into two. Yeravam becomes the king of the north, and Rehavam is the king of the south. That's it. It was primarily during Shlomo's reign. That was a great time. But it was primarily during King Shlomo's time that Yerushalayim is the central hub of the Jewish people. But already by the time of his son Rehavam, the kingdom is split into two. Guards are placed to make sure that no one from the north comes down to the south. And the majority of the tribes, the majority of the Jewish people turn their backs on Jerusalem. Now there was a reason for this. There was a political reason for this. The halacha is that a legitimate king from the house of David is allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. It's allowed to sit. It's a very interesting idea. And someone who is not a legitimate king, such as the king of the north, could never do that. In other words, when the king of the south would host a home game in the Beis HaMikdash, it would be very clear who's the real king and who's not a real king. It would be an embarrassment for the northern kingdom and for the northern king to have to come down to the southern kingdom to face the fact that they had the Beit HaMikdash, they had the king from Beit David. So it served a very important political purpose to make sure nobody ever came down. And they set up idols in the north. Not so much to worship idols. They set up agalim, interesting things, agalim zahavim, golden calves of all things, so that the northern kingdom could find other places to worship other than Yerushalayim, other than the Beit HaMikdash. It's important, again, to understand that Yerushalayim was the central hub of the Jewish people for a very, very short time. Now we go several hundred years later. It's not the beginning of the book of Malachim Aleph, where the temple is built, but now it's already the end of the book of Malachim Bet, when the fate of the temple is almost sealed. Vayihi bishnat shalosh laHoshea ben Ela. Hoshea ben Ela is the last king of the northern kingdom. Melech Yisrael Malach Hizkiah ben Achaz Melech Yehuda. King Chizkiyahu becomes king in the southern kingdom. Ben Esrim v'chamesh shana haya b'malko. He's 25 and he reigns for 29 years in Jerusalem. Vayas hayashar b'nei Hashem b'chol kechol asher asa David aviv. He was a breath of fresh religious air. King Chizkiyahu got rid of the Avodah Zarah that had become so rampant even in the southern kingdom. Who hasirat habamot, he got rid of the bamot, were idols, were altars, to God, but not in the Beit HaMikdash itself. Note that in the time of Chizkiyahu, people, even all over Yerushalayim, were offering sacrifices all over Yerushalayim. Vishibarata matzevot, vicharatata asherah, rampant idol worship in Jerusalem. Bahashem pasake Elokei Yisrael batach ve'acharav lo haya kamohu b'chol malchei Yehuda v'asher hayu lefanav. Perhaps the greatest king in certain ways ever to rule in the southern kingdom. V'haya Hashem imo b'chol asher yetze pasuk zayin yaskil v'yimrod b'melech Ashur v'lo avado. He had the Ribono Shel Olam behind his back, and therefore he took the bold move to rebel against the ruling empire of the world, Ashur. Vayhi bashana harevi'it lemelech Hizkiyahu hi ashana hashvi'it lehoshea ben Ela. And it was in the fourth year of Hizkiyahu, which was the seventh year of the king of the north, Hoshea, Allah shalmaneser melech Ashur al shomron vayatzer aleha. The Assyrians come and they besiege the capital city of the north, Shomron. Vayilkedua miktzei shalosh shanim bishnat sheish lechizkiah. And in the sixth year of Chizkiah's reign, the unthinkable happens. The city of Shomron falls. The Assyrians capture northern Israel. And northern Israel, the majority of the Jewish people, are exiled. It's very difficult for us to understand what this meant. Al tiftach pe l'satan. Nothing should ever happen today. Imagine if something happened in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has been there in the 60s of years. Nothing will ever happen, right? Nothing will ever happen. It shouldn't ever happen. But it's permanent. They had been in Eretz Yisrael for 700 years. They had faced tremendous threats. I stood up here a number of years ago, I believe, and gave a shiur before Yom HaTzma'ut about a siege on the city of Shomron. At the time of King Yehoram and the time of Elisha Hanavi. And I spoke about the great miracle that occurred when Shomron was surrounded. And one morning they got up and four Mitzoraim realized that the army had left. God is always going to protect the Jewish people, no? Certainly the Jewish people in Eretz Israel. No, we do have Avodah Zarah. We do terrible things to each other. Menodom lachaveru. We fight. We do. But I mean, it's Eretz Yisrael. God is not going to allow anything to happen in Eretz Yisrael. The northern kingdom of Israel is destroyed, is exiled. It's not supposed to happen. Imagine what the people are thinking in the southern kingdom. It actually happened. It's not just a threat. And then it goes away, and then there's a Yeshua. There always was supposed to be a Yeshua. No, that's Sefer Yehoshua, Sefer Shoftim. There's always somebody trying to destroy Eretz Yisrael, but it never happens. And it happened. It happened. The northern kingdom was exiled. Now, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom did not get along. Don't get me wrong. They fought. There were civil wars. But what a shock that the Ribono Shel Olam would allow the majority of the Jewish people to be conquered in Eretz Yisrael and exile? But that's what happened. Nilkeda Shomron. Shomron has been taken. Nilkeda Shomron. As loudly as we have the ringing in our ears of Har Habayit Biyadeinu, imagine how it rang in their ears. Nilkeda Shomron. Shomron was captured. Vayogel melech Ashur, turn the page, at Yisrael Ashura. Vayanchem v'chalach u'bachavor. They're put, they're taken to Assyria, and they're settled in cities. Al asher lo shamu b'kol Hashem elokeim. Yeah, it was just. They didn't listen to the Ribono Shel Olam. They deserved to be punished. But really, God? Really? The northern kingdom of Israel is exiled, is destroyed. The people are taken away.
Uva'arba esrei shana lamelech Hizkia ala Sancheirev melech Ashur al kol are Yehuda habetzurot.
And in the 14th year of Hizkia, less than a decade later, under a new king named Sancheirev, so the Assyrians are back and they're now attacking the southern king. And we can only imagine the horror as people heard the drumbeat and the armies of Assyria coming in to conquer the southern kingdom just as they conquered the northern kingdom.
Vayitpesem.
And they succeed. City after city after city falls in the southern kingdom. Although Jerusalem is at the top of the southern kingdom, they go around Jerusalem, the most fortified of the cities, the capital city, and they just go out and they start conquering in Gush Etzion. And they start conquering in Beit Lechem. And they succeed. We had never seen an empire. We had always had people attacking us, Aram and Edom. There were always people around us, Mitzrayim, people who attacked. But the Assyrians were conquering the whole world. This was the first empire. And they succeeded for the first time. And there must have been many people in the south who said that the Jewish experiment in Eretz Yisrael has finally reached its end. It was nice. When there were lots of small countries, we could have our own country, but now we live in a new world, a world of empires, a world where people pay taxes, but they give up their freedom. It made every bit of sense for the southern kingdom to assume that it was coming to an end.
Vayishlach Hizkiah Melech Yehuda al Melech Ashur Pasuk Yedalud Lachisha.
He was up in Lachish, a city in Eretz Yisrael. Lemor chatati, shuv me'alai. Chizkiyahu sends a huge amount of money up to Sancheirev, who has his base up in the northern kingdom now. And he says, I have sinned by rebelling against you. I don't know what I was thinking. And he sends him a huge pot of money.
Ba'etahi pasuk tetzayin, Kitzatz Chizkiah et dalto techal Hashem.
He starts cutting the gold off of the Beis Hamikdash and sending it up to him. Surely, there were mixed feelings about this. Surely there were people who said, that's just the right thing to do. Enough of this temple, enough of this relying on God. We're in a new world now, a world of empires. You have to do what you have to do to survive.
And certainly there were those who say, what a lack of faith in the Ribono Shel'olam.
Vayishlach Melech Ashur et Tartan ve'et Rav Saris ve'et Rav Shakei min Lachish al Melech Hizkiyahu bechel kaved Yerushalayim. And then despite the money that Hizkiyahu sends, they come anyway. What do they have to lose? With a massive army to Yerushalayim. Some explain that this was actually Chizkiyahu's doing, because what Chizkiyahu was surprised, I don't know why, but he was surprised when Sancheirev first showed up. And they were totally unprepared for war in Yerushalayim. And what his plan was to send all this money to Sancheirev, and then to fortify Yerushalayim, and then to rebel again. And that's exactly what he did. We know that Chizkiyahu's tunnels, which many of you have walked through, Chizkiyahu's tunnels were created at this time. There was a water source, which was ultimately outside. The Gihon spring was outside the walls of Yerushalayim. In those days, they fought a war by besieging a city until they would give up. So the water source in Yerushalayim was outside the city walls. That made them very vulnerable to a siege. It also meant that the other army had tons of water, and they had none. So they stopped up the Gihon spring outside the city, and they dug this incredible tunnel
so that they could access the spring from inside the city. We could still walk that today. So now they rebel, and Sanherib comes back. And he sends his messengers.
They call to the king. The king doesn't come out himself. He sends his messengers.
Say this to your king Chizkiyahu. Ko amar hamelech hagadol, melech Ashur, ma habitachon hazeh asher batachta.
What are you, crazy? Have you lost your mind? We have conquered the entire Middle East. You have your measly city of Jerusalem. We've conquered all of your land. Your city is packed because people have come from the open fields to try to stay with you in the city. You're overcrowded. You have no food. What, have you lost your mind? How can you possibly think of rebelling? And it's a reasonable question. How could he possibly think of rebelling? What was he thinking?
If in fact, again, he sent the money just to delay, and then he started fortifying the city and building up the walls, you could still see these walls. You could still see what he did. What was he thinking?
V'chi tomrun, pasuk chaf bet, Eli, if you'll tell me, El Hashem Elokeinu batachnu, we're relying on God. Halo hu asher hesir Chizkiyahu et bamotav ve'et mizbechotav.
You think you're relying on God? You got rid of all of his altars. Gods like multiple altars. They like shtiblach. They want everybody to be davening wherever they are. They don't want people. Well, you made this idea. You are an enemy of God. You are on God's bad side, Chizkiyahu. Look what you have done. You've spent your reign destroying not altars for Avodah Zarah, but altars for God.
Keep going.
Hashem aliti el makom hazeh. How do you know? Maybe I have come because of God. Maybe God is on my side now. Something that the Jews would hear for many, many centuries, many millennia. Look at who is on top. Look at which religion. Look at which force is the largest. Why do you assume that God is on your side at this point? And then to skip to Pasuk Lamed, Hey, mi b'chol Elohei ha'aratzot, asher hitzilu et artzam miyadi. All those other gods, everyone relied on their gods all around the Middle East. They weren't able to stop me. Ki yatzil Hashem et Yerushalayim miyadi. Is God, your God, is going to be able to save Jerusalem from my hands?
The fight between Assyria and the southern kingdom became a fight particularly over Yerushalayim. It was no longer a fight about the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom fell in a moment. They had no chance against the Assyrians. The showdown was not between necessarily Assyria and God, but Assyria and God over Yerushalayim.
Vayehi kishmoa hamelech Chizkiyahu vayikrat begadav. He tore his clothing. He hears someone blaspheming God. Vayitkas pasak vayavo Beit Hashem. The king goes up to Beit Hashem. Vayishlach et Eliakim. They send out to Yishayahu Hanavi. It's always strange. If one isn't familiar with Tanakh, it's always strange to see the name of some other person from Tanakh. Suddenly, how did Yishayahu get? Well, you know, Yishayahu lived at the same time. One was a commentary. Yishayahu is a book that's supposed to be read in the context of Malachim Bet. It's a commentary. There are things that Yishayahu said during this historical period. So they send out to Yishayahu.
Ulai Yishma Hashem Elokecha et kol divrei Rav Shakeh.
Modesty. Maybe Yishayahu, your God, who doesn't necessarily feel the need to save us, wants to at least defend his own name from the blasphemous remarks of Rav Shakeh. And they come to Yishayahu.
Vayomer lahem Yishayahu, ko tamrun el adoneichem, ko amar Hashem, al tira mipnei advarim asher shamat.
Don't worry.
Asher gidfu na'arei melech Ashur oti. It's a joke.
Remember your faith, Chizkiyahu. They are nothing compared to me.
Hineni noten bo ruach v'shama shemu'a v'shav la'artso.
He'll hear a rumor, he'll go back to his land. This is nothing. This is not going to be
anything.
Rav Shakei goes back to find out what's the next nasty thing I should say to scare the Jewish people, and he finds that the king is no longer there. He was actually called to a war somewhere else. Something else is going on.
Vayishma el tir haka melech kush lemor hine yatsa lehilachem itach.
He hears a rumor that the king of Ethiopia, perhaps the king of Egypt.
But he says, Kotomrun el Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda lemor al yashi acha elokecha asher ata boteach bo.
Don't think that you're going to be okay. This is a temporary delay, a temporary thing. We'll be back. We'll be back, I promise. And it seems that during this time, they fought a war in Egypt. Our rabbis tell us that they fought a war in Egypt, and they destroyed Egypt, and came back not only victorious, but with an enormous number of Egyptian slaves and Egyptian money.
Pasuk Yudalet. Vayikach Chizkiyahu el tasfarim miyad hamalachim vayikraim vayal beit Hashem vayifrasehu Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem.
He gets all these written remarks, all these nasty things, and he lays them out before Ribono Shel Olam.
Vayitpalel Chizkiyahu lifnei Hashem vayomer Hashem Elokei Yisrael yoshev hakruvim hatahu elokim levadcha.
I know that you're the one. Lechom amlechot haaretz.
Ata sita ta shamayim ve ta aretz. Hatei Hashem oznecha ushma. Bekach Hashem einecha ure'e.
We say words very similar like this in our tefilos.
And listen to what Sancheirev has said. Yes, amnam Hashem. Hecharivu malchei Ashur et hagoyim ve et artzam.
Look what he's done.
Vata pasuk yutet. Hashem elokeinu hoshienu na miyado.
Save us from his hand. And let everyone know that you are the only God.
Vayishlach Yishayahu ben Amoz el Chizkiyahu lemor.
He sends to Chizkiyahu. Yishayahu wasn't approached this time. But Chizkiyahu prays. Yishayahu gets an answer from the Ribono Shel Olam, and Yishayahu sends him the answer before the end of his prayer.
And he says the following. Turn the page.
He says that Sancheirev, in fact, will fall in a dramatic way. His armies will fall in a dramatic way on the outskirts of Jerusalem.
Ki mi Yerushalayim teitzei she'eritu pleita mehar tzion, kinat Hashem ta'azezot.
From Jerusalem shall come out a remnant and survivors from Mount Zion.
Lachein ko amar, listen to these dramatic psukim as it ends. Lamed bet, lachein ko amar Hashem o melech Ashur.
This is what God says to the king of Ashur. Lo yavo el ha'ir hazot, v'lo yoresh sham chetz.
You will not get to the city, and you will not even be able to shoot an arrow.
V'lo yikadmenu magen, v'lo yishpoch alei solalah.
Baderach asher yavo ba, the way you came, you will return. And then pasuk lamed dalet.
Viganoti el ha'ir hazot lehoshia.
And I will protect this city to save it.
Lema'ani u'lema'an David avdi.
God says, I stand behind Jerusalem.
They can take the entire Middle East. They can take the Egyptian Empire. They can take the entire south and north of Eretz Israel. But I will stand behind this city.
V'ganoti el ha'ir hazot lehoshia.
Our rabbis tell us that night was the 15th of Nisan. And inside the city, besieged by the army of Ashur, The Jewish people were still bringing the sacrifices, their Korban Pesach. And that night they were singing Hallel. And the Medrash tells us that Sancheirev looks down into the city. Sancheirev comes down from Lachish and looks into the city and says, "Ah, this place is a joke. This is not, this was the whole deal." Sancheirev had been up in Lachish. He comes to see the city, Chazal tell us. No feif yadav. He waves his hand. He says, This was the whole thing? This is Jerusalem? This whole is a joke. We've taken whole countries." Rav Shakeh, who our rabbis identify with a Jew who had left Judaism and joined the forces of Ashur, looks into the city, remembers that it's almost midnight at Pesach, and says, "Uh-oh, this is really bad." You know, we say two different mizmorim, we say two different pizmonim on the two nights. Some say Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that both should be said both nights of Pesach. Since we don't have good songs for them, it's very difficult to get through them. Right? One is Vayihi b'chatzi alayla, and then there is the song about the Pesach night. And we read in Gullus, we read one on the first night, one on the second. We don't have good songs for them, so it's painful enough to read one. So we read one on one night, one on the other. They're really supposed to be read together. They send a very powerful message. At the end of the Seder, as we're praying for Geula, we remind the Ribono Shel Olam. There's someone here who comes to our Seder every year. And we say this every year at the Seder, that this is the most auspicious moment in the entire year. Midnight, one Zemer has all the things that happened in Jewish history at midnight, and another is all the things that happened in Jewish history on Pesach. And Pesach at midnight? Rav Shakeh looks at his watch and he hears them singing Chag Gadya, and he says, "Sancheirev, this is really bad." Vayhi balayla hahu vayetze malach Hashem vayach b'machane Ashur 185,000. Do you understand what that is in ancient times? On one night, outside the gates of Yerushalayim, 185,000 soldiers. And Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, these were 185,000 generals. But certainly minimally, according to the simple reading of the text, 185,000 soldiers die instantly on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. Vayashkimu vaboker, they get up in the morning, they have no idea. Vihine chulam pegarim metim. They get up on Pesach morning and they see the entire Assyrian army dead outside of Yerushalayim. Vayisa vayelech vayashav Sancheirev melech Ashur vayeshev beninveh. Sancheirev goes home, just as Paro watched his people die, only to be able to bear witness and go home. Sancheirev watches his people die, and goes home. Vayehihu mishtachaveh beit nisroch Elohav. He goes back to talk to his God, find out what happened, and he bows down to his God in a temple back in Assyria, and his sons, Hikuhu Bacherev, they kill him, they assassinate him, and Sancheirev is finished. We don't know how immediately this occurred. In fact, we know that there is a large round pillar with writing on it that is from Sancheirev himself, that we have found, and he describes all of his military victories, and he describes the destruction of Egypt, and he describes the greatness of Assyria, and he talks about his conquest of southern Israel, and he talks about the fact that he had Chizkiyahu like a bird in a cage. And then his narrative ends. He had him like a bird in a cage. There was no natural way that Yerushalayim should have survived. And he tries to cover himself by saying how wonderful he was, but he never explains why he never conquered Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerusalem doesn't last. Okay, please listen closely. Jerusalem will fall. And in fact, how shocked they must have been. Now you can understand the shock in Megillas Eicha, that no one ever believed that someone would come through the gates of Jerusalem. Shavas, we say on Tisha B'Av morning, Shavas, everything ended. It was a shock. It can't be. Yirmiyahu Hanavi, who is outside of Yerushalayim, is sent out of Jerusalem at the time of the destruction, and he sees this smoke, and people can't believe it. Because as shocked as they were that the northern kingdom could fall, they now believe that Yerushalayim could never fall. And it did. But something changed. Yerushalayim took on mythical status. And this city of miracle, this city which God pronounced, I will stand behind this city, even when it would fall, would never be forgotten. What happened to the northern kingdom? The northern kingdom was exiled to Assyria and did what any other people would do. They assimilated. And in fact, that was the deal that Rav Shakeh offered. We couldn't go through every pasuk, but that was the deal that Rav Shakeh offered the people of Yerushalayim. What are you doing here? We will resettle you. Very strange term. We will resettle you. But in those days, they really did. They resettled them to places that were fine. And we never hear again of the northern kingdom. Perhaps a few people are brought back by some of the kings, but for the most part, that's it. The northern kingdom disappears. They settle. The southern kingdom will not assimilate. This same city of Yerushalayim will fall, and the Jewish people themselves will go and turn to Avodah Zarah pretty quickly. Why such a great miracle? It's fascinating that our rabbis tell us that God was ready to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. This was such a great miracle. This is one of the greatest miracles in all of Tanakh. God was ready to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. This was almost it. But it didn't work out. The people didn't respond properly. They weren't ready. They weren't at the right level. This was a temporary Yeshua. The city would fall. But whereas the Assyrians would resettle the northern kingdom and they would become Assyrians and we lost most of the Jewish people, the southern kingdom would never assimilate. Al Naharos Bavel. Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, look at the Psukim. Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, Bizochreinu et Sion. Kisham She'elunu Shoveinu Bedivrei Shir. They said, come on, Jews, sing some of the beautiful songs that you used to sing back there. V'tolalenu simcha. Shirulanu mishir Zion. Sing us songs of Jerusalem. Eich nashir et shir Hashem al admat nechar. And instead they say, imeshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. The Jewish people don't say, Im eshkachech et the Jewish people. They don't say, now that we're out here in Bavel, we refuse to assimilate because we will never give up our Torah. We will never give up our longing to go to Eretz Yisrael. We will never give up what makes us special as Jewish people. That's not what they say. I would argue that the reason why the southern kingdom, our ancestors, because everyone else was gone, why did the southern kingdom survive when the northern kingdom did not? Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach imeni. They were so stubborn, those Jews. There's a reason why God picked an Am Keshe Oref. It was very annoying for him at times. But we are a really stubborn people. But what is it that we are so stubborn about? We are stubborn to never forget Yerushalayim. I would argue that it is after this great miracle where God says, I will stand behind this city. It is then that Jerusalem takes on a mythical status of God's city, the city that God will never ultimately allow to fall, such that even when it fell, they would always look back to this city. And Jews, for centuries, wouldn't say, L'shana haba be'eretz Yisrael, as important as Eretz Yisrael and central as Eretz Yisrael is. They wouldn't say that. They would say, L'shana haba be'Yerushalayim. We are thanking the Ribono Shel Olam because we've had Yerushalayim for 50 years. That's not why we're thanking the Ribono Shel Olam. We're thanking Yerushalayim because we've had it for 2,500 years, and I would argue that if it wasn't for Yerushalayim, we would not be here. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, of course. But what was the via to keep the Jewish people together? How is it that we are the only people that did not assimilate? Because we all, wherever we stood in the world, we faced Yerushalayim. It is not an understatement to say that when God saved Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim literally saved the Jewish people. The longing for this city has brought Jews together, Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, wherever we have been. We have stubbornly insisted on facing Yerushalayim. And yes, for all of us who are living in the Galus, facing Yerushalayim is the same thing as facing Eretz Yisrael. I don't know whether I'm facing Yerushalayim or facing... I'm just facing Eretz Yisrael, but it's not. Maybe it should be, but it's not. It's facing Yerushalayim. Talpiot. That city, Talpiot. It's called Talpiot in Tanakh. Tell, it's a place that everyone's pone, everyone looks to that one place. Yerushalayim ki'ir shechubra lo yachtav. If you look at Tehillim at the top of the page, Yerushalayim ki'ir shechubra lo yachtav. It's the city that not only brings together, it's the city that brings together, that holds together the Jewish people. And although this may have happened at the time of the fall, at the time of the fall of the Assyrian army, it was always the goal of Yerushalayim to be not simply a central place to worship God, but the heart and the center of Yerushalayim. Even though it was split between Yehuda and Binyamin, our rabbis tell us that Yerushalayim lo nitchalka lishvatim. It was never truly divided up amongst the tribes. It belonged to everybody. It was the heart of the Jewish people. It was that which was supposed to hold us all together. One last idea before I conclude. Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, Talmud of Rav Kook, was asked why it was that the city of Yerushalayim was not able to be held in 1948 and yet was retaken in 1967. As we mark the reunification of Yerushalayim, the miracle that happened, we also need to mourn for all those who died in 1948. Yerushalayim was one of the tragedies of 1948. And it is well worth it to review and to see what happened to those, the less than 2,000 people who were in Yerushalayim, and the attempts of the army to take, to hold on to the city, and then to retake the city. We lost the city. We couldn't hold the city against the Arab Legion in 1948. And yet, in the summer of 1948, we had a chance to retake the city. At the time, if you know Zionist history, if you know the history of Eretz Yisrael, we were not yet a united army. We had Etzel, we had the Irgun, and we had the Palmach. And although they cooperated somewhat in the taking of Yerushalayim and trying to hold on to Yerushalayim, they had very, very different ways of going about it. And the story goes that in the summer of 1948, there was one particular night that we were supposed to come and retake Yerushalayim. And it seemed that it was supposed to be ours. And in a very strange way, it didn't work out. It never happened. And just as strange, said Rav Neria, in 1967, when our army just walked through the Lion's Gate and couldn't believe that they were able to make it to the Kotel. Why, they asked Rav Neria, in 1948, could we not retake Yerushalayim? And we were able to take it in 1967. And he said a very simple answer. In 1948, we had two forces coming in from two different gates. In 1967, we had one army coming through one gate. The purpose of Yerushalayim has always been to unite, or to serve as the crown of a united Jewish people. The Radak, we started with David HaMelech taking it. The Radak asks the question, why did Yerushalayim, we never tried to take Yerushalayim before David HaMelech? Why during all those years, everything that happened, King Shaul, all everything, and Sefer Shoftim, we never tried to take Yerushalayim? Why is that? And the Radak says, because Yerushalayim couldn't be taken until we had one king over one people. Only once David HaMelech was crowned king and you finally had a king. The Rambam tells us that when Mashiach comes, there has to be a king before the Beis HaMikdash. Because even if Yerushalayim is taken, the heart of Yerushalayim can only be when we are united. And unfortunately, Yerushalayim divides us in so many ways. But the Radak says that David HaMelech was able to take the city only once he became king. Once there was a king, that's when we can go and take Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim is not only the heart of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the beating heart of Klal Yisrael. It has held us together for thousands of years. May it be as well that we are able to hold on to Yerushalayim le'olam, and that we should all be able to celebrate in the heart of the world, the heart of Eretz Yisrael, and we'd be able to celebrate as one in Yerushalayim.